Chapter 6. Troubled. Do I strike you as troubled? Let me give you some facts and figures. I'm 17 years old. I'm a junior at Fairview Central. I've never skipped school, and I have a 3.4 grade point average. I don't use drugs or alcohol. I've never been seriously ill. I have never broken a bone, lost a limb, or had an organ removed. I am scrupulously honest, except for necessary lies. I sleep well at night. I'm not a loner. I have a best friend. According to an article I read, 17% of all boys between the ages of 12 and 20 are troubled. By this, they mean that 17% of us have psychological or behavioral aberrations that may pose a threat to others or to ourselves. In my opinion, 17% is far too low an estimate. To be accurate, you would have to include the entire football team, except for Andy, all of the stoners, the dropouts, the gearheads, the art students, and at least half of the chess club. According to my data, about 38% of the Fairview student body is troubled. Or if they aren't, they should be. I do not include myself in their number. The reason I'm going on about this is because one night I overheard my mother talking to my father. Henry, I'm worried about Douglas.
What's the boy done now?
Well, the fact that he spends hours every night working on his model railroad.
He enjoys it, Andrea. A boy has to have a hobby.
Yes, but he spends so much time at it. I think that town is almost real to him.
You must admit, it is quite realistic. Remarkable, actually.
I just wish he would get out more. Spend more time with other kids his age.
He's shy. I was a shy boy, too. He'll learn to make friends as he gets older.
Nevertheless, I'm concerned. I heard him talking in his room again last night.
What was he saying?
I don't know, but that can't be normal, can it?
I used to talk to myself when I was a boy. It's just a phase.
I just don't think Dr. Ahlstrom is helping him.
The boy seems happy enough.
Happy children do not talk to themselves, dear. I find it curious that my parents, both of whom are extremely intelligent, don't realize that the voices my mother heard were me and Andy. I mean, we've been talking across the picket fence for years. You'd have to be pretty oblivious to not figure it out. And as far as spending too much time working on my model railroad goes, all I can say is it isn't half as nuts as some of the stuff she does. My mother has more facts and figures packed inside her head than anyone I know. She can name the 50 highest mountain peaks in the world in order and tell you how high they are. She knows the atomic weight of every element, and she can tell you what syzygy means. Her job, which she does at home in her office, is designing crossword puzzles. You may have seen her work in the New York Times and other important publications. But I've seen her spend an hour searching the house for her reading glasses when they were on a chain around her neck the whole time. I've also seen her throw a fit over a broken pencil lead. And then there was the time she was trying to roast a chicken and accidentally put the chicken in the bread drawer and a loaf of plastic-wrapped bread in the oven. That stank up the house pretty good. I could come up with several other examples for both of my parents. But my point is that sometimes even a highly intelligent person can be dumb as a stump.